Hallelujah. Well, we're studying ministry of the Holy Spirit in recent weeks, in particular, the gifts of the Spirit. Last week, we started looking at the gifts of healing or the healing anointing. And I want to begin today in Luke chapter 6. We'll probably spend all our time today in the Gospel of Luke. But in Luke 6, verse 17, says, He, Jesus, came down with them and stood in a plain, and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Now, as I mentioned last week, we began looking at the healing anointing. And at verse 19 says, there went virtue or power out of him or out from him and healed them all. It wasn't a matter of like praying and calling something down out of heaven, but rather the gifts of healing is a work of the Holy Spirit coming out from someone, not coming down from like the sky or the heaven. Sometimes when people lack understanding, they think they have to like yell and scream because God up in heaven, that's pretty far off. You know, you have to really scream to get his attention. No, that's not how it works at all. We have a covenant, and within that, one of the blessings or promises is healing. I shared last week, healing's not just something God does, it's who he is. It's part of his DNA. Evidenced in that he created man in his image. The human body is designed to heal itself, which is cellular regeneration. And in Revelation 22, where it says of the trees along the river of life and the leaves being for the healing of the nations, it's speaking of healing in heaven, but we know there's no sickness or disease there. So that's where scripturally I base what I just said a moment ago. God is healing in that what he creates is created to regenerate. And for man, when the regeneration process is disturbed or interrupted, that's where you have serious issues. And if that continues, then you have diseases that would break down the body. With the early believer, the early people lived like 900 and some years. And it wasn't until the firmament was broken that the UV rays came in and there was less oxygen on the earth because the earth was encased in that firmament, and it's estimated it was 30 times more oxygen in the air, which is a part of the healing process as well. And your body needs oxygen. The lungs don't work. There's no oxygen. So that all played into that. And, of course, with Adam's fall, there came a curse on the earth and disease and such like. But healing is a cellular regeneration happening in your body. So the body will normally do that if it gets the nutrition it needs and the water, the oxygen. But then there are times where what's happening, whether it's through deficiency or exposure to some disease, or it could be an accident where something's broken like a bone or a concussion or something, there's times where you need an extra dose, an extra jumper cables of healing power coming into you. And God has the provision for that. You know, the ideal is to where we're walking in healing, giving our body what it needs. However, you know, there is a curse on the earth. There is the aging process. There was exposure to various diseases and such like. So God has the provision for us, one, in the covenant, and two, by the gifts of the Holy Spirit, gifts of healings, working in miracles, and so forth. Now that in itself should bring great consolation to our heart. Because sometimes people will look at the natural and think they have to like do everything perfect. You're never going to do everything perfect. But nonetheless, we need to take seriously the responsibility to be good stewards of our body. We can't be abusive to it because then we're sinning against our body. And there's a certain point where people become accountable before the Lord for what they're doing. And that comes with more knowledge of God. You become accountable for that knowledge. So maybe where you got away, where you think you got away with something earlier in life, and maybe the healing came. Many times people, as they're getting older, because they didn't change their ways, they keep doing what's causing the problem, and the healing is not even manifesting anymore. And it's because they're not judging themselves. Now, that's a whole getting into a whole other subject matter. But I'm just trying to, the reason I'm saying these things is to paint the broader picture here about health and healing. Because we do not want to allow ourselves the thinking that, well, I can abuse my body and, well, God will just heal me. That's not how it works. We have to respect God as creator, how he designed it to work and flow with that. But the consolation is where something's happened, like say an accident, or you get overwhelmed in your body, say your immune system is not strong enough to fight off the invaders, you know, the germs and bacteria and all that other stuff, then maybe you need something extra coming in, the jumper cables, you know, of God. And it's interesting with batteries, there is, you know, the electrical charge provided where we would start our car or whatever else it's used for, batteries, and that can begin to get weak. So when someone else is agreeing with you or even praying for you, I think of this, the picture I like to think of is they're putting jumper cables from their battery of faith to yours. So give a little extra fuse in there, a little extra jolt in there to help turn that engine over and get it working again. So praise God, he makes the provision for us wherever we're at in our life. Sometimes people may be overwhelmed with weakness, or, you know, when you have a lot of pain, it's very hard to think. You can't tell someone in extreme pain, sit down and read this book on healing. And they look at it and their eyes are going cross-eyed for the pain that they're in. Sometimes we're in a place where we need other people's jumper cables put on us because we're maxed. And whether that's to our faith or at times possibly the immune system, which God designed where, you know, to fight off all the corruption, the death in the earth. So, you know, we feed our immune system the nutrients that's needed, and it'll fight it off. But you could hit that spot, that immune system not strong enough. Or it's like a really strong virus. There's viruses, and then there's strong viruses. Now, sometimes people call everything a devil. I advise against that, because not everything is a devil. Sometimes it's a devil. You don't call it a devil unless you discern that spirit. If you don't have the discerning of spirits, just call everything a devil. I find people that I listen to that do that, and I'm not thinking of any of you when I say this, but I've been around people already, where what they don't understand, they'll just call it a devil, to put a name on something they don't understand. Well, we don't have to understand everything, but we can go to God and gain the understanding. And sometimes there might be some issues in our life where there needs to be adjustments or healing, and we need the revelation from God. God knows what's wrong with your body. So we need to seek him to get that revelation. Meanwhile, while we're doing that, because we want to be good stewards and not, we want to take out of the equation, I'm doing something to cause this problem. Because, you know, you could have hands laid on you, get healed, and if you keep doing what causes the problem, well, next week, next month, next year, the same problem's there. And again, it's not a devil. If we think we know our authority over devils, well, then why are you letting this devil mess around with you? Sometimes I think people just call everything a devil because they want to feel real spiritual about something that's sort of out of their control at the moment. Well, we need to discern when it's a devil and when it's just something just happening in our body or we're exposed. And there are times there is a spirit of infirmity, and I think that's in the, I think it was Luke 18, might be a devil that actually is bringing something. And, you know, we'll get to that another time. But we don't want to assume that. Not everything is a work of the devil. And a devil can't operate in you or in your life unless there's some door open to him. That's the reason why when Jesus would cast devils out, and even sometimes with healing, which we may get to today, he would say, go and sin no more. Because it may be at times there's sin that opens the door up. Now, in any case, we need God to reveal to us. We're not like going on the witch hunts, you know, into the communist system. The adage was, show me the man, I'll find the crime. The way it's supposed to be in our country is show me the crime and I'll find the man. That's the way it's supposed to be. So there's a little tongue-in-cheek present-day reality humor in what I'm saying here, if you're following the news at all. Okay, well, we see here another reference here in Luke 6. Last week we were in Luke 5, but in Luke 6 here, where there was a healing manifest, and all this multitude came to touch him, and there went virtue out of him. But at verse 17, it says they came to hear and be healed of their diseases. And that's very, very important because we receive that healing by faith. And faith comes out of the ongoing process of the hearing of the word, hearing unto the completion. Or we need to hear and hear and hear until we receive, till the faith is to where we receive it. Well, then you can move on to something else. Sometimes, as so many different things in life, people don't persevere till they get the victory or the result or the fruitfulness of what it is they're needing or seeking. You know, if there's a problem in a relationship, well, you need to, you know, seek the Lord to work that out and find his wisdom until it's worked out. Or if you have your own issue or a health issue, seek him till you get the answer. Or in this case, continue hearing the word until the healing comes. So how long should I keep doing this? Till the healing comes, that's how long. Amen. Well, they came to hear and be healed. And I cited last week, and I'll do again, Brother Hagin. And I'll reference him a few times because he was a very great teacher, man of God. He was reared up in the healing revival. Actually, he was a ministry for, I don't know, a number of years before that. And then one time the Lord appeared to him and said, well, now you're ready to start phase one of your ministry. So what? What? Yeah, I've been pastoring for like 13 years. Phase one. Well, at that point, he was being called into the healing ministry. And he operated in that the same time many, many others did. From the late 40s to the mid-50s, there was what's referred to as the healing revival. There were hundreds and probably thousands raised up across our nation and in other nations as well who were operating in the healing anointing. Sometimes God moves in certain ways, and we can tend to want to, like, just camp around that and want that to be like that all the time. That's not how it works. Ministry of the Holy Spirit is like waves coming in, and you want to ride the wave that's coming in, not, you know, remember the ones past. And you had people operating in that anointing, and there was a lot of miracles. And what Brother Hagin understood by the Spirit of God was he needed to teach the word, because the Lord, when he appeared to him, said, go teach my people faith. And he would say no matter where he started in the Bible, he'd end up there. And why is that? It wasn't by intent, because that was the dominant thing in his heart. So he would end up teaching faith, and then after so many days, lay hands on people as he felt faith was rising in the people from the hearing of the word. He said there were others who learned just to flow in the anointing and healings would flow, but the people who were struggling with faith, they didn't get it, and the ones who didn't teach it, they didn't really sustain that ministry necessarily real long, a more short-lived type of ministry. Something can like spring up, God can begin to move in a certain way, there's a great outpouring, and those things can like dry up or stop just as fast as they rise up. What men do that are lacking understanding is that they can begin to think too highly of themselves and exalt themselves just because God's using them. And the very point one begins to do that, the gifts will probably begin to cease. And I've heard many, many testimonies where that's actually what happened in people's lives. Now, what we're looking at here is the gifts of healing, and I want to encourage you to consider that that anointing flow in your life. There are ministries called to the ministry of healing, and praise God for that. But then there are times you need that gift operating. Maybe a member of your family, or even for yourself, or a neighbor or someone, and we want to have expectation that God could use me. God can use you. You don't have to go to the special meeting, no. Praise God, your special meetings. Many times, I've heard this said numerous times by people operating in the gifts, many times with gifts of healings, that certain ones called in a ministry of healing, they will be used especially towards certain things. And they begin to develop faith for the Spirit of God to move, healing certain things. I remember about 30 years ago, we had a man in named, by the name of Joe Jordan. I mean, you remember Joe Jordan? Yes. And that was before the laughter and all that kind of went viral. You know, that anointing where people would laugh in the mid-90s. But God used him like that in the 80s. And there was many times when he would pray for people, you know, they maybe like have a back issue. He was like, I call him a Holy Ghost chiropractor, because he was especially used ministering healing to people with back issues. And he really had faith for that, and that's just part of how God chose to use him. But people would like be bent over backwards in some way. You couldn't, if you could even do it, you wouldn't be able to hold that position more than a couple of minutes, like a half an hour or something. And that was, you know, when we were down East Philadelphia Street. It was one of the times, him a couple of times. But he was especially used with backs. And God would do these bizarre looking things where they'd be bent like a pretzel. And when the Holy Ghost would take his hand off, he'd be completely healed. Well, there's others. And I mentioned like Stephen Jeffries, Stephen Jeffries was a renowned healing and miracle evangelist in England in the 1930s. And they say that practically anybody who had rheumatoid arthritis, if they came, they were healed. He had faith for that. And later on in his life, he got in pride, and he said this is a quote, "The world is at my feet." And he exalted himself, and at that point, rheumatoid arthritis came on him to where whoever I was reading, might have been Lester Sumrall telling us, that went to see him. He was like all curled up. He couldn't even sit up straight. And he ended up dying as a result of this rheumatoid arthritis, the very thing he was called to minister healing and had faith for that. But he let pride in and began to take the glory, which God will have none of that. Okay, so God may use people in a measure in certain ways. It's not something for us to covet. But many times, especially if God heals you of something like that, you'll have a greater faith for what you've seen him do for you. I remember for myself, as a young believer studying healing, you know, we were finishing a foundation, and we were throwing 10-inch block, 10-inch wide, 16-inch long, 8-inch high, weigh about 40 pounds, throwing these block up on a scaffold, and then we're going to get on a scaffold and throw them out of the foundation. Place them, not throw them. You break them up. But the plank or the board underneath where we had leveled it broke, and these blocks all came and hit me on one of them, the corner of it, right onto my head, and split my head open. And it was summer. I had my shirt off. There's blood coming down my chest. And, you know, I go kind of like walk out from the foundation, climb out, and this one guy's saying, "Oh, we need to take you to the hospital right away." And because I was hearing the word on healing, I said, "Well, no, wait, I'm going to pray." And I sat on the tailgate of this pickup truck, and prayed. And these guys were like right there, and he watched it close up in front of their eyes. Well, the fight wasn't over then. After that, this other one young man who had some knowledge in emergency first aid, he says to me, "You know, you better go to the hospital. You could have a concussion." Well, a while later, says, now he's not trying to be ignorant. He's meaning to help me. He says, "You better go to the hospital. You could have an infection." Well, that's all true, but the Lord just healed me. So sometimes, even when a manifestation's there, the devil's going to find somebody, or just on his own, talk in your ear to where you get into unbelief and possibly even the very thing that he's saying happen. Well, yeah, it's true. You know, it could be infection because, you know, we were in dirt. Yeah, it's true. You could have a concussion. You know, you get whacked in the head with a concrete block. Yeah, you could have a concussion. But in my heart, I knew the healing was there. Now, seeing that done, or that immediate healing, there had been many times subsequent to that where the Lord used me, where there's open wounds, and to pray and people be healed immediately. That's happened numerous times. And the thing is, when you see that for yourself in a certain area, there can just be a faith rise in your heart to believe for that. One time I was walking in, we had our Grace Academy in the high school, and I just walked in the door, and the Spirit of God said, "Get ready to pray the prayer of faith for healing." Just walked in the front door. And sometimes other gifts are in operation with the gifts of healing. Many times a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or discerning of spirits. And that in that case was a word of knowledge. So I walk in, went into the bathroom, and right before I came in, they had science class in the high school, and Jared stabbed his finger, and they had those tight, latex gloves or whatever on. I come in and see that the blood's, his gloves filling up with blood. And he took it off and prayed, and it closed instantly. And there's other times. One time, I had my car, and Sam had the mobile station on Leader Heights. This was in the early to mid-80s, maybe. And he's put my car in, go over to the restaurant beside it, and so I'll eat and just kill a little time here. And I'm walking back from the restaurant to the gas station, neither of which is there anymore. And Spirit of God spoke to me, said, "Be ready to pray a prayer of faith. Someone's going to need healing when you walk in that gas station." So I walk in the door, and right when I walk in, there was another car come in while I was away off the highway, and that's something wrong with the brakes. And I saw Sam, and he had needle-nose pliers, pulling a cotter pin out to break, and it like slipped and jug him right under the eye. I mean, he poked himself, blood squirting. But I was ready because there was a word of knowledge to minister, be ready to pray prayer of faith for healing. So I went over, grabbed a hold of him in the name of Jesus. Of course, there was people around. They all backed off. It gave me some room to operate. And right in front of their eyes, and there was one or maybe two other mechanics, guys working there, the Lord stopped that, closed it up right in front of their eyes. And later on, the one mechanic got saved because he couldn't deny the Lord anymore. He saw that. And as I was sharing earlier, many times, especially in the power gifts, God will use them to establish a witness to the truth they've heard. And if you know Sam, he's preaching to them every day. But now there's a sign that goes with that where they can't deny. They can't deny that. Now, so as you receive healing in different areas, many times there's just like a faith rises up in you. You've seen the Lord do that. And so often some of the great men or women of God who were used mightily in the power gifts, but particularly with the gifts of healing, many times they were near death or actually died. It's like Brother Hagin, by age 16, was paralyzed, died. He had an incurable blood disease, heart failure, paralyzed. He had all this different stuff to where he even died, went to hell 3 times, and his grandma prayed him back. Now, he didn't go the whole way in, but he was there the way people describe, like, it's sort of like you're standing outside looking in a window. I mean, he was there, but he wasn't like locked in just yet. And he ends up, I mean, he comes back, and he had been reading the word, reading the word, reading the word, relative to faith and healing, what he needed. And faith rose in his heart, he received the healing. Well, later God used him, and there's two things here. One's compassion. When someone suffers with sickness and such like, or has people close to them suffering or dying, there is a real compassion rise in you that you don't want anyone else to go through this. You know the thoughts they're dealing with. You know what they're feeling. So compassion is a part of it. And then also faith. And as you've seen the Lord completely heal you, like Brother Hagin did, well, there's a strengthening all the more of your faith, because you know, you've seen the Lord do this. You know him to do this. And that we need to see it in the word, but also experientially, we get all the stronger in that. And Oral Roberts, he was resisting God. I think he was 17, left home, ends up with tuberculosis, dying. His parents are praying for him all the while. Ends up coming back, humble himself, repent. God healed him completely of tuberculosis, which was a killer disease in those days across our nation. And then the Lord raised him up. He'd seen the Lord do that work. Lester Sumrall was also dying of tuberculosis as a boy, or as like maybe 17, 18, 19, he might have been about 19 maybe. And he would tell the story in his biography how he hated when, you know, all his mom's old lady friends would come over and they'd be praying, and he was a rebel and he was the little tough guy and all that, and he hated that. And then when they'd have guest preacher in, they'd end up sleeping in his bed. He hated that. And the Lord, he's dying of tuberculosis, and the Lord gives him a vision and showed him a Bible and a casket. And he said, you choose. You can have whichever one. So in the beginning, he tells a story. He was preaching because he don't want to die. He could care less about it. He didn't have compassion. But later on, then the Lord changed his heart and he had compassion. But he also had faith, seeing what the Lord had done in his own life. And there's on and on and on people like that. In some cases, it was family members around them, and the compassion was so strong because they live with that suffering. They hated what sickness and disease does. They weren't coveting power to say, look at me, but rather there's such compassion. They don't want anyone to suffer or deal with something like that. Now, that's not to say you have to go through a whole bad thing to be used of the Lord. That's not to say that. I'm just speaking of observation historically. Those used in the greatest way, many times the reason is they have greater compassion. We can have compassion for things we're not necessarily experiencing ourselves by being around people and asking the Lord to help us see them through the eyes of his love. And you begin to feel for them in your own heart. It's a little easier to enter into that when something you've gone through, but you don't have to go through all that. Just like many times you ask someone who spent time in prison, they have compassion for the other guys in prison because they know what it is to be there. But we want to rise above just our own experiences and not allow ourselves to be limited, but say, Lord, help me to see like you see through your eyes, through the eyes of compassion. And with the gifts of the Spirit, and particularly healing gifts, compassion many times is what's stirring that to be activated. Faith, hope, and love stirs, activates these type of things. All right, well, let's come back here in our text. They came to hear and be healed. And virtue went out of him. Didn't fall out of heaven. It came out from him. And it came out, the gift of the Spirit, healing and anointing, came out because that's from the Holy Spirit who is within you and upon you. Well, let's go back Luke 5 again, which verse 12 speaks of the man with leprosy being healed, which in Matthew's account, Mark 1 account, Jesus was moved with compassion. Well, then at verse 15, it says, so much more went out a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself in the wilderness and prayed. So again, we see they came to hear and be healed. There's many places it says Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom. And that's where faith rose in their heart, and then he would pray for them. Verse 17, it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching, there were Pharisees, doctors of the law, sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. So again, we see a reference to the healing anointing. It says the power of the Lord was present. That's the same word in the Greek where it speaks of virtue, the power of God, the anointing of God. It's the same thing, the gift of healing, the anointing of healing. It was present, or it was activated by the Holy Spirit. Now, that could have been partly relative to compassion. It could have been partly relative to the faith of the people coming with such expectation. I've observed with people in evangelistic ministry operating in that gift, one of the things that they learn to do is create expectation and build faith. And Brother Oral Roberts would always say, something good's going to happen. And then he would also say, expect a miracle. Those are like famous short little sayings he would always put out. He would preach the word and many times have testimonies. Brother Osborne, in the same way, operating in the same manner. And the expectation of the people can draw on the anointing or stir up the gift of God. It's wise for us to expect the Holy Spirit every day. Yeah, we really, it's something we can ask ourselves. Am I desiring to begin with, as it says in 1 Corinthians 14:1, but do I have expectation for the Holy Spirit, whether it's to speak to me a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, to manifest the anointing, like healing anointing, to be able to speak by inspiration to someone else, aka prophecy. You know, sometimes people, they think prophecies is like mysterious, hyper-spiritual thing. Ooh. No, you just are stirred in your heart to speak a word to somebody. And it's the Holy Spirit stirring you. That's the spirit of prophecy. Now, it should always exalt Christ. It should edify people. Nonetheless, and that's another lesson for another day. But we want expectation on the Holy Spirit and his ministry. So the people, there was a draw here, the healing anointing's being stirred. But something I want to point out, two different places here. Verse 16, Jesus withdrew himself in the wilderness and prayed. Notice the prayer preceded the power. Then we see in chapter 6, when you go up a few verses from verse 17 to verse 12, it says, it came to pass in those days, he went out into or onto or up a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer. Now, is this just a coincidence or is this a principle here? Jesus spent all night in prayer, and then in that time, he was really seeking the Lord about who's to be the apostles that he's going to be training. Those who were called apostles were just called disciples. There were many disciples, thousands of them. But he is praying over who is he to pour himself into, who after his resurrection and ascension is going to carry on the work, carry on the ministry. He did not take this type of thing lightly, but it says he continued all night in prayer. Until you do that, you don't know how much that's a challenge, okay? Because your body's saying sleep, sleep, sleep. All night in prayer. And then in the previous verse, he went to in a mountain and continued in prayer. It just says he prayed, verse 16. You know, sometimes people will portray, oh, you don't have to pray that much. I submit that's in violation. That is not a truth. That's in violation of Scripture, too. I just read you. Now, what we have to understand, praying long doesn't create results. Praying loud doesn't create results. It's praying in faith that creates results. But sometimes you need to continue in prayer until you hear the answer or till the anointing is generated to do whatever he's calling you to do. So that's the reason one would spend a long time in prayer. And the thing is, if the gifts of the Spirit begin to operate or flow for someone because of the time they're in and the faith and expectation of others, and they never really were seeking the Lord and spending much time in prayer, people wrongly conclude, well, I don't have to really pray that much. It's not a works thing. It's just a matter, that's a part of the whole thing here, with flowing in that kind of anointing. And especially if someone's called to that, they have to pay the price for that. You know, I don't just stand up and start talking. I'm in the Word hours and hours and hours in prayer before I do what I'm doing here. There is a price to pay. And with healing anointing, there is a price to pay. And that is separating yourself unto the Lord and waiting on the Lord and ministering to him and praying, stirring up the gift. When it comes to the gifts, it says 2 Timothy 1:6, stir up the gift that was put in you by laying on a hand. Stir it up, Timothy. Well, how does that happen? Praying in the Holy Ghost. That's how that happens. Stir it up. Yes. Well, if people are undisciplined and they want to justify it, then they'll say, well, you don't have to pray that much. But you'll find there'll be serious deficiencies begin to emerge in their life if we don't develop our prayer life. Because we need to hear from God. We need to hear unto the establishment of faith. We need to hear relative to direction. We need to believe for the stirring up of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, praying for the Holy Spirit's ministry to others, whoever you're, you know, concerned about or going to be interacting with. Pray for the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Jesus himself, who's our example, he prayed all night. And there's other times we see that. He prayed for till he was finished. And then he would proceed. So I appreciate that God had that put in the Word, lest we think like we're just operating these things. The manifestation of spirits as he wills. But if you're called to that, you can expect for that to happen on a frequent, regular basis. Just like, you know, I know I'm called to feed the flock, to teach every week, so I fully expect teaching anointing to be released every time I get up. It's part of my prayer. Why? Because I'm called to do that. Now, God using me in a personal, you know, one-to-one manner, it's not necessarily the same. I'm not like called to do that per se, where I'm just believing for the stirring of that gift, but rather we want to stay full so we can be vessels to be used in it at any time. A lot of times where the real need comes, you can't plan that. You're like you encounter someone and there's an emergency, a crisis. You need to be able to pray the prayer of faith now. Because of that, I know I cannot afford to let sin in my life, to have unforgiveness or any such thing. Because what if, while I think I have that luxury and allow that, somebody needs a prayer of faith? Well, I'm in no position to really, I mean, I can say the words, but be confident before God. Your own heart's not right. 1 John 3 says your own heart condemns you. And then you're not going to have confidence before God. So the more we want to have a desire to flow in the love of God, be used, the Holy Spirit flow through us, we have to keep ourselves in the love of God and stay in the Spirit. Sometimes people think they can just fly off in the flesh, get angry, and just go, oh, sorry, and everything's going to flow again. Does not work like that. We have to keep our heart right, keep ourselves stirred with expectation, keep our faith strong. So therefore, the hearing of the word must be a part of our daily life. And then we're positioned to be used of the Lord. Well, Jesus prayed. Then I had referenced last week, but I'll reference it from the Gospel of Luke this week, Luke 8:40. You have the incident there with Jairus seeking out. He was a ruler of the synagogue. He had a little something to lose. He's facing losing his daughter, but he could lose his reputation. As a ruler of the synagogue, to be seen going to Jesus in broad daylight. But he was desperate. And many times we don't do what we need to do until there's a certain desperation there. And back when the Lord showed me in a vision, before we were in this building, he showed me this, and the room where we were became this room. It became filled with people, and people were rejoicing and praising the Lord. There's two types of people. Rejoicing and praising the Lord. There wasn't even any leading going on yet. They came in that way. And then there were people who were desperate. I mean, how do you know that? Why? As I was walking, I saw into their eyes. I saw rejoicing, I'm free, and I saw desperation. I need God. So that's what I expect as far as this house. That's what he had showed me. So, you know, you stay true to what he shows you. Well, this Jairus, he was desperate. His daughter's dying. And while Jesus agrees to come with him, a woman with the issue of blood 12 years, who's not supposed to be in public, not supposed to touch anyone, she, you know, sought out physicians. They couldn't bring forth healing. She came in, touched the hem of his garment. She's instantly healed. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Everyone, you know, is denying it. Oh, nobody touched you. And Peter's thinking, man, you've been out in the sun too long. You say, "Who touched me?" There's a multitude of people pressing on you. And he said, "Somebody touched me. I perceive virtue is going out of me." The healing anointing was stirred in Jesus previous to this. And it may be that when Jairus came in his desperate faith, risking losing all of his reputation, it may be at that point that anointing was stirred in Jesus. But now somebody gets in on the action. And that's the woman with the issue of blood. And Jesus, the healing anointing is tangible. And Jesus knew when it went out from him, and he himself didn't pray for anyone or anything yet. But this woman, her faith drew it out. And the thing we want to see there is we want to build our faith where we put a draw on the anointing. We expect for that. I hope you do that relative to me being your pastor. Well, there's a draw by your faith on the anointing, and that's the reason why some people say, "Wow, God was speaking right to me," and there's others, "Well, ho-hum, away I go. It was a nice message. What did he say? I don't know, but it was good." I hope you don't say that, but people do that sometimes. You know, they didn't really hear in their heart, but they knew the presence of God was there. But many times there's, you know, the word comes out in a way it's right to individuals, and where my faith is that everybody can have that. That's why I don't pre-plan what I'm going to say. Let the Spirit of God speak directly where people feel it's personal, the Lord to them. But you see, if you don't release faith and draw on that anointing, you might not have that experience. But it's there to be had. Same with the gifts of healing. If that healing anointing is present, by faith, we draw on it. And then you have, and I mentioned last week, but I just want to say this again, the point of contact, whether it's oil, when this oil hits your head and runs down your body, when these hands are laid upon you, when I make mud and throw it in your eye, whatever, there's a point of contact, the release of faith together. Or in this case, it was just her faith. Jesus wasn't even really involved, except he was carrying the anointing. And she drew it out right through his clothing. Remember Brother Hagin saying, cloth material can hold the anointing. Metal doesn't. you don't put your hand on the car and anointing come out of it. That's metal. Well, now it's plastic, I guess. But the healing anointing can be carried and transmitted. But by faith, we draw upon that and make the connection where that power flows into us.